Let's read together. Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles away from Jerusalem. And they talked together about all the things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another, and as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which has happened in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, and you can read about it in Luke 24. What do you do when your world suddenly falls apart? All your dreams are scattered. Suddenly, there's no future. You experience despair, depression. What do you do? Well, there's some common places that we go to. First of all, we can deny it. That's a very common reaction, and sometimes we call it faith or positive thinking. But in fact, we just tell ourselves, this is not as bad as it looks like. And it doesn't touch me. But what you do if you deny is that you actually swallow your pain and the negative emotions because of what happened to you. Another common thing that we do is to escape. I just want to get away from it. And again, we can confuse it very easily with relaxation or just a time of rest, recuperation. But in fact, it's escapism. We just want to forget about it, get away from it, and don't feel it. And we do it by activity and substances that we take in. Well, the danger is that we can get addicted, but what we do is we actually numb ourselves, not to feel by escaping. We can offload. And again, we can confuse it with, I'm just sharing my feelings with you. But in fact, we are just lashing out. When only you feel good after such a session and everybody around you feel heavy and, oh, it's terrible for them, most probably haven't shared, you've lashed out. And our story that we've read, it looks as if those two people traveling to Emmaus escaped and offload. It looks as if that was their predominant way of reacting. First of all, they left Jerusalem. And this is a picture of leaving the place of faith, the hub, the center, the community, leaving it all behind because of the pain that they've experienced. And now they're going to Emmaus. Emmaus was a spa city. There was a famous Roman spa. It was like Sun City, you know. We are going to Sun City just to get away from it all, just to recuperate again and reorientate our whole lives and get rid of all the bad stuff that happened to us. And the other, they offloaded to each other. They were just working each other up, if I can put it that way, telling each other, this is terrible, you can't believe it all the time. And it's important for us to become aware of our tendency. You know, what do? When things like this happen to us. But they were in that state when Christ found them. He was looking for them. First of all, can you imagine? This is two nobodies. There's important people to go to. And look at what they're doing. They're not looking for God. They're blaming God. Things didn't work out the way they hoped it worked out. And they so trusted God. And how can God do this to them, I suppose? But he founds them. He cares. And he's with them. and they don't know, it's Jesus that's actually walking with us. Now, I'm amazed that he didn't visit Caiaphas, Pilate, or Herod. I mean, the religious and the political and the governance of those time. Herod. I would visit him first. You know, he's a cruel, manipulative, egocentric leader. Imagine Jesus just visiting him, just waking up softly. Herod, are you okay? I thought I'd just come and say hello. You thought you could kill me? You're so cruel, but how did it work out for you? And I'm alive. Can you imagine Herod's experience if something happened to them? And then Jesus would be very lovingly say, I'm not going to do anything now. We'll sort it out later on. But you're gonna answer to me for what you did. I'll come and visit you regularly when you expect it least. I'll be there. Huh? No. Jesus went to the downcast. He had no score to settle with anybody else. And now he's walking with them. What a picture of the Christian life. He walks with them. He shares his life and they share with him. And what's so significant about this happening is that it actually gives us a picture of what our life would be like with Jesus after the resurrection. And it gives us some insight in how Jesus actually worked with them and helped them to bring about this big transformation. And we can say a life with Jesus means that we live with him, to learn from him, in order to change and to transform, to become like him. So Jesus invited them, he's inviting us, three things. First of all, to look inside. He asked them, what are you discussing with one another, looking so brokenhearted? So here's a few things. What are you discussing? Can I put it in other words? What are you thinking about? Because what you think about is what you talk about. Speech is a verbalization of your thoughts. What do you think? And then, what do you feel? And he could pick up their feelings in their body language. Now, and so Jesus was so attuned to their body and what their body was telling him. And he's making them now aware. Okay, you know what happened to you. But are you aware of what's happening inside of you? That's the invitation. Not just to be hung up at what happened. Life is not just out there. Life is actually happening inside of you. What do you think and what do you feel? He wanted them to connect with themselves. And then to connect the dots between their feelings, their thinking, their body, and what was happening to them. Connect the dots. So here's the invitation. Are you on an inner journey? And are you regularly just checking with yourself and connect with yourself, become present? Are you aware of the way that you react to challenging circumstances? From a therapeutic perspective, it looks as if they had an ambivalent, pattern of reacting between their thoughts and their feelings. Well, first of all, they were overcome by their feelings. And then when Jesus asked them, they were very, very rational, and it was just about the facts that had happened. Their thoughts and their feelings were not integrated, connected to each other. They were falling between those two. Perhaps you've had experiences like that, where you had anger burst out, you know, where you just lashed out and came out of you, and you're amazed. But this is not me. This is not how I really am. You know, it can be a sign of that ambivalent way of functioning. You can predominantly live out of your emotions. And especially when bad things happen to you, you can emotionalize. That's what they did. They did not recognize Jesus. Why? Well, Luke 22, just two passages earlier, Luke spoke about the disciples that were so overcome by sorrow that they fell asleep and they were not aware at all of what was happening to Jesus and what was happening to them and around them at that moment. If you emotionalize and tend to emotionalize, it alters your perception of reality. And your inside world will be chaotic. You can rationalize. Now, unfortunately, in the culture that we live in, to rationalize is actually to be a man. It's to be to have perfect self-control, but actually, it's not very good to you. It's just as bad as to emotionalize. Because if you rationalize, you disconnect from your body, from your emotions. It also means that you disconnect from other people. To connect deeply with other people, it is just necessary to share your feelings, to feel felt only through connecting with your own feelings and sharing it with each other. That will mean, if you rationalize, that you will have a rigid inner world. So the invitation is to integrate, to bring the left and the right side of the mind from a neurological perspective, the brain, to connect with each other, not just to move and to live out of a dominant one side of the brain. It's just a better life. So this is the first invitation of Jesus, to go on an inner journey and to become aware of what you feel, what you think, to become aware of your pattern, the way that you react with thoughts and with feelings of what happens to you. The next thing is to share my experience with him. Jesus asked them, what things? If I should paraphrase it, tell me about it. Now, he wasn't lying. He didn't say, I don't know what you're talking about. He knew exactly what they were talking about. He didn't ask them to share their thoughts and their feelings for his sake. He's asking it for their sake. Share your thoughts and your feelings with me. It's a very therapeutic process. And here we meet Jesus as the great therapist. It's from a neurological perspective, it's one of the ways to connect the left and the right side of the brain with each other, to bring about an equilibrium, not to emotionalize, not to rationalize, but to experience a balance in your life. It's a wonderful thing. A therapist who's a researcher found that if you write down your emotions just for 4 days. Just for 4 days, 15 minutes a day. You will discover that your anxiety levels will drop. Your feelings of depression wouldn't be so strong anymore. And your immune system will be strengthened through this exercise. Now, that is psychology, but Jesus invites us not just to verbalize in general, but to make a connection with him and to share your thoughts, your feelings with him. This is spirituality. It goes beyond what we've spoken about, just to get in contact with it. And something incredible happened to them if you do that. You know, there's a connection. I mean, it's the same with anybody else. I mean, you won't tell your son or your daughter, you're so sad. What happened to you? I know exactly how you feel and worse things has happened to me and in my life. There's no connection with them. And you might know what they're going through, but you want them to share it. What happened? What happens when they do that? You open up your heart. And they come inside of your heart. You would experience compassion. You would experience a feeling for them. What happens to them? They feel, I'm heard, I'm accepted. There's a connection. And that's how we open up to Jesus, inviting him into our hearts, for him to settle down and make his permanent abiding place in us through this way of praying. And what Jesus did was he reacted to them when they did it. And he used scripture. That's very interesting. And he opened up their minds to understand scripture. They received words from him. A word from him. And it's a powerful thing. You know, Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is powerful. And the word there in the Greek is energeia. It brings energy into your life. But it's a moment of enlightenment. Your perspective shifts. Everything changes. There's a fire burning within you. That's what happened with you. If you can learn to live in this way, if you can learn to share your feelings and open up to Jesus. And his invitation to them was, now live with me. And look what happens. Jesus himself came up and he began walking with them. Jesus walked with them. He then vanished from their sight. Now something strange happened. They did not look around and said, but where is he now? We've got to find him. No, they were satisfied. Because why? Because their idea of Jesus changed. They realized Jesus changed. We are living in a new era. It's a different time now. Jesus is not just somebody on the outside anymore. A person at a certain place, physically. No, he's now also the Christ. He is with us. Even though we can't see him, he is in us. So the idea just broadened, became much larger. He was just a transcendent person to them on the outside. Now he's imminent. He's also inside us. It's a new spirituality. It's a new way of walking with God, of living with him. It's a new consciousness. And it meant that they had to let go of their old ideas of God, you know. And as we grow with God, we also will change our idea of the nature, but also of the essence and of the way that we're God, the way that God works in our lives. Let go of it. Now, God isn't somebody out there to help me fulfill my dreams and to help me that everything just happens the way I wanted to do it and to give me the strength to do the things. No, it's a total metanoia. Meta means to move beyond noia thinking. That's the word for returning, for repentance. Totally turn around. I look differently at God. I look differently at myself. Who am I to tell God what to do? I don't really know what I really need. I thought I need a new government. I need comfort. And then my life would be fantastic. And Jesus said, no, that's not the important stuff. It's living with me. They had to let go of their ego attachments that they were living. And everything within them changed. And nothing really changed. Caiaphas was still there. Herod was still there. Pilate was there. Everything on the outside was the same. But they changed on the inside. And they transcended the circumstances and stuff that they were living in. Now they're going back to Jerusalem. The pluck of their pain. The place where they lost their faith. They're going back to the community that they've turned their backs on. They're going back to God, to the center of their faith. And the big sign for them was their hearts that were burning. That's where they realized he's working inside of us. They got in touch with their inner world, and now they could sense the consolations in their heart. And it's a new reorientation to them. And Paul encourages a young Timothy to fan the flame that is within him. You know, and to the Thessalonians, he says, don't quench that flame that's burning in your heart. Don't quench it. Don't put it out. It's a picture. It's a way of living. Learning to pray in such a way and opening up to God until your heart starts burning. And then living with that heart that burns wherever you go, whatever you do, there's this sense, there's just this awareness that he's with me. My heart's burning. He's working inside of me. And then doing things that just keeps this fire alive inside of me. Becoming aware of the things that quenches this fire. I don't want to do that anymore. It's not rules. It's not laws. It's not a must. It is I want to, because it's wonderful. I'm living in the kingdom. I'm living with him now. And that's the life I want to live. I don't know where you're at. Perhaps you're at a place where you're totally cut off from the inside, from the metaphysical world, something outside of just the ordinary practical things that happen inside of you. Unless you find another way, that would be your life. But living with him means that everything can change, becoming aware of him. He's there with you in your pain, even though you blame him or can't understand why he does it to you. He's there, caring, waiting for you to be with you in your pain, in your struggles, experiencing him. Experiencing his word coming to you, making you alive, changing your perspective, and to live with him, to share your life with him, and to live with this burning heart. That's our invitation. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you love us. Doesn't matter what we do, where we are, you are with us, and you care. Help us, oh Father, just to believe it, to turn to you. Help us to join you in this inner journey, to get in touch with the deep things happening in our hearts, in our souls. Help us to share it with you. Help us open our ears, our eyes, to see, to hear what you're telling us. Help us to live with you. Help us to protect the flame that's within us. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you. Amen.